This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Saturday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. This is Denise Salcedo. On this episode, Thunder Rosa and I react to seeing Tama Tonga debut on SmackDown and how his presence shifted the Bloodline saga in the WWE. Also, Thunder and I break down New Japan's Windy City Riot, where Jon Moxley wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Plus, we give our yeet right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Let's go. I want to go ahead and dive right into Friday Night SmackDown because we got some big topics to hit on, and I want to hit on the first one, and that first one is going to be the Bloodline. So Thunder, we're coming off of this big WrestleMania match in which Cody Rhodes finished his story, and we all kind of expected to not see Roman Reigns for a little bit, right? He's probably going to be gone from TV just for a bit. But here's the thing, though. A lot of us were probably wondering, okay, well, given that the Bloodline has been the hottest freaking story for like how long in WWE programming, how are they going to continue this? How are they going to tell the story in a different way, right? We had a lot of questions. And let me tell you, the way that things played out last night, it's looking pretty damn good. And the big thing that happened is that we had Solo Sikoa sort of start to take the reins on the group. And right now that Roman's not there, Solo Sikoa seems to be in charge of things. And he kind of talked about how he used Paul Heyman's words to further justify his actions, because Paul Heyman basically said, like, there are consequences for losing. And Solo Sikoa took that and he's like, and there are consequences for those consequences. And basically, we saw Jimmy lose to Jay at WrestleMania. And so we have this moment where Solo Sikoa is looking at Jimmy and we're all thinking like, oh, he's about to like Samoan spike him or something. He hugs him. And then we end up seeing Tama Tonga come from behind and attack Jimmy. And so now Jimmy has been kicked the hell out of the Bloodline, at least under Solo Sikoa's watch it has. And now we're seeing Solo Sikoa take over with the help of Tama Tonga. So what was your reaction to this? What was your reaction to Tama Tonga? All that stuff.
I popped. I totally popped. I thought it was going to be somebody else because there's been a lot of rumors that somebody else is there. Jacob Fatu has been talked about like for 2 weeks that he signed at WWE, and Jacob Fatu is one of my favorite people personally because he's from the Bay Area. We did the same shows and stuff. But when he came out, I was like, wait, what? It just feels very Godfather-ish style of story, right? It's like cousins, like stabbing cousins in the back because they didn't get the job done, you know, and now bringing the new cousin that is a badass, right? So it's gonna get very interesting. And yes, I like how Solo, like, because he's the enforcer, he's been the enforcer for a long time, he was the one that never talked or never said anything. So I just want to see how they're gonna be able to develop this new Solo persona, right? Instead of just being the enforcer, now he has his enforcer himself. And the tribal chief has to do with all of this. Is that was his plan? It's just Solo like doing his own thing, and they're gonna split. They're gonna be split Bloodline. Like there are so many things that we can think about, and if there's gonna be more people involved in this situation. And now and also I want to see if Yeet and No Yeet are gonna get together, like where is all this gonna fall in, you know, and how are they gonna join forces or like fight against them? Like they're setting so many different matches already just right now with like this new storyline that they're creating for the Bloodline.
So you bring up a good point, and that is, where is this all going to lead to? And there's like a theory, basically, that one, like you mentioned, the Usos. Okay, mm-hmm. As of right now, like, I feel like we've gotten all that we can get out of Jimmy and Jay being enemies, but it's looking like I think that they might definitely get together because, again, now that Jimmy's been screwed, who's going to have his back?
Denise, they cannot be in singles matches. They cannot be, like, fighting each other anymore. They need to be together. United, yes. are way better. Let's be honest. United, they're the shit. The Usos, you know, are the shit together. But that's why I'm like, okay, so Jimmy's gonna have to eat his words. And you say, hey, brother, you know, I'm in trouble. Are you gonna help me? And like, you know, I don't know. It's just gonna be like, there's so much that we can speculate. And again, they're doing this, and they've been doing this for like 2.5 years. Like, where we have us speculating what's gonna be the next step, right? And then now with, I just read on one of the articles, just talking about the bloodline with The Rock, like he wants to go to WrestleMania and wrestle Cody. Like, so you're telling me that Cody's going to be the title, or somebody from the bloodline is going to regain the title? Like, where is this going to go? It's just like all this long-term storylines. It's really cool for everybody because they're going to give us so much to talk about. And one of the things that for me, not only with this story, but that is so important, it has been important too, is when somebody like a Tribal Chief loses the title, somebody as prominent as he is loses the title, like, how do you continue to make him important in any storyline in wrestling, right? It could be with anybody that has been in this situation. And I think it made me think of how important it is to create a story after the main story. And how are you going to do it successfully? And I think they're planting the seeds. It's becoming, again, people are getting, they're still interested in what's going to happen. And I'm not talking about what's going to happen next week. I'm talking about what's going to happen in the next couple of months.
Yes. And like you said, continuing that story. So given Roman Reigns right now, like, you know, he was the hottest heel. He was, you know, his heel work with his facials, with his promos, with his demeanor, with his overall presence really help put forth the Tribal Chief character. But I think a lot of people are probably expecting Roman Reigns to turn babyface down the line and have this whole situation where you have Roman Reigns and the Usos working together to go up against Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and anybody else that he might be bringing in. And so I do think that could be like the next part of this whole story, is that we're seeing this, you know, bloodline civil war. And not to mention where The Rock falls in on this, because we know that The Rock is going to come back and handle his business eventually with Cody, right? That's what he said on Raw after Mania. But another story we're also waiting to see come to fruition is The Rock and Roman Reigns. So there could be a situation where all of a sudden The Rock is aligning himself with Solo Sikoa and his guys, and then you have Roman Reigns and his guys. And so then you have these two sides of the bloodline clashing together. And I think they can tell like a really fun story with all of that. So it's looking pretty damn good. And can I just say, Tama Tonga looked phenomenal last night. Like, he came out and he looked menacing. He looked terrifying. Like, if I didn't know who Tama Tonga was and I just saw this guy come out here on SmackDown, I would be like, dude, who's this guy? I'm freaking terrified. Like, he came out here and he looked like a killer. And the best part of all of this is that Solo Sikoa has had this really great rise, right? It's been slow and steady, but not too slow where it's boring, and not too fast where it doesn't feel justified. It's been this really good upward progression for Solo Sikoa. And now, like, because he's been so silent, right? He's been so silent for such a long time. Anytime he spoke, everybody listened, right? And now with him sort of calling the shots, smashing Paul Heyman's phone, all of those little things, people are intrigued because we only know so much about Solo Sikoa, and he leaves you wanting to know more. I want to know why he's doing this. I want to know what his thoughts are. Like, it makes me intrigued in Solo Sikoa as a person, and I buy that he can be this enforcer.
It really does. And I think a lot of people were questioning what was happening before WrestleMania with Roman Reigns and The Rock, because I feel like there was a couple people that mentioned to me, so what happened to Roman Reigns? We really don't care about Roman Reigns. It's like The Rock has taken, you know, the highlight of everything, and he's not, you know, wrestling in the second night of WrestleMania. And I feel like with this, it made me think that there was already fractures in the bloodline, and The Rock was doing this just to like do what he wanted to do, but he needed to acknowledge Roman Reigns first to do what he wanted to do in the future. And with that, all the fractures happen, right, with the family. And this is like a very, like I said, very typical movie storyline, movie telenovela with like mafia style families, you know, happen. There is fractures on them, depending on what personal interests people have. And I think probably maybe the final boss is calling the shots in the back. But that, you know, Roman Reigns doesn't know this, and he got stabbed in the back, and that's how he becomes, like you said, a baby face. That will, I think that in that aspect, it will make him a baby face, right? And they will have this big match. They can have this big match, Roman Reigns and The Rock. Otherwise, it's just kind of like, eh. But and it will make sense in that regard. But yeah, with Solo, I am curious to see what his motives are, and what make him like break completely, because his loyalty has been really, really big with the whole family. And now, why is he acting this way?
I think, and this is just an assumption or a theory rather, I think part of the reason why he's acting this way is because why would he now continue to support a man who lost the Universal title? Like, right? Like, wins and losses is supposed to really mean something, right? It comes with a lot of pride. It comes with being the tribal chief. So in Solo Sikoa's stance in all of this, why would he continue to support a man who just lost, right? So that's the way that I'm kind of seeing that. And then also, you mentioned The Rock calling the shots with Solo Sikoa possibly, again, behind the back of Roman Reigns. I love that because, as we know, The Rock's going to be gone. He's got a million projects that he's working on in Hollywood and all of that. But this is a way to sort of make it feel like he was always there, even when he wasn't. Of course, it's part of the TKO board. We know all of that. But I'm talking like on screen. On screen, it's going to make us feel like he was always part of this specific story, even though he wasn't actually physically there. And so I don't know. I think that the way that this is all going to connect down the line once The Rock comes back is very exciting. And just overall, I feel like the overarching theme that I do want to say about how I felt about last night's SmackDown is that it felt exciting. It felt like there was actual thought put into these stories and actual reasons as to why we were seeing what we were seeing on screen, rather. So I'm looking forward to this a whole freaking lot. Is there anything else that you wanted to add, Thunder, about the Bloodline story?
No, I'm just curious. Again, I'm curious to see what's going to happen, you know, because we have Monday and Saturdays, and they always bring, they just give you like droplets of things. They don't give you a full thing. So people are just keep getting super interested. And I just want to see, hopefully, that there's somebody else on there running and it's a new member of the Bloodline. So I'm going to be watching.
Come on, Jacob Fatu. That's what we want, right? That's what we yes. want right there.
The number one pro wrestling show on the planet, Busted Open, is available 7 days a week by subscribing and downloading the Busted Open podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. Join me alongside two WWE Hall of Famers, Mark Henry and Bully Ray, the hardcore legend, Tommy Dreamer, plus Thunder Rosa and Mickey James, all week long as we break down everything going on in and out of the ring. Listen to Busted Open right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you tell us a little bit about what went down on Windy City Riot?
Well, you know, it's some of the matches were highly anticipated. We had two women's. I always like to talk about the women first. We had two women's matches. It was a tag match, and then it was a singles match for the title. There, both of them were incredible. Some of the women were able to showcase things that you don't necessarily see on TV a lot of the times. Vivia Van, I really want to put her over. I love her work. And lately she's been absolutely doing a tremendous job on becoming better in the ring. Like her attitude, her persona, the way that she does certain things is so interesting. And I remember we interviewed her here in Busted Open, and she was having some issues because she was always being compared because she's Vietnamese. She's not a Chinese or Japanese. And that sometimes affected her a lot and the opportunities that she's having. But in the last year and a half, she was able to go to Tokyo Joshi Pro, and now she's working with New Japan. And she continues to show that she has a lot of heart and she has a lot of determination. And yesterday, like her match, like the little things that she did them with a lot of confidence, and then it just shows. It shows her character, and I love her. She's so different from everyone. Another person that really caught my attention, and if you haven't seen her, you should, is when Asumi is one. Asumi's going to be on AEW Collision tonight against Tony Timeless Storm. But she's going to be wrestling her today. Yesterday, she had a pretty banger of a match. And this is where I'm going to talk again about knowing your audience. She's working for a New Japan audience, and where the Japanese style is different from a TV style that we work here in America. So definitely what they did yesterday for the title match with them, it was exactly what you do in a show like this. And the match, let me tell you, was crisp. It was good. It was interesting. Asumi showed that she's young. She's 21 years old. She's fast. And she just like fights from within. And also it showed our champion from CMLL, who is a really good friend of mine that I really enjoy watching her. And I feel in the last year and a half, definitely Stephanie Vacker has gotten so good. It is ridiculous. And yesterday she was so crisp. She was vicious. She was calculative. She will bring the cadence of the match in like at a slower pace, which made it even more interesting. And the match was great. Rocky Romero put them over on Twitter. And like again, I'm interested to see Asumi today again. Tony Storm. You know, so it's like, I think it is a good way to like tie it into today's show on Collision, which you should definitely watch. Don't be a punk, watch it. Then also another interesting thing that I was really looking forward to see, and I didn't pay attention. I know that you guys pay attention to this. Anna Jay was wearing a hat that says Scapegoat. I didn't pay attention to it until I was watching the show. And I saw Shota Omino against Jack Perry, the Scapegoat, right? We know that Anna and Jack are dating. Yeah, we all know that. But I didn't pay attention, of course. And yesterday when Jack Perry came out, he came out with a Chicago flag and then a jacket that says Cry Me a River. The fans were so loud booing him. And it just made it like, wow. Like, if you're talking about becoming a real heel, like, he is one of them. Like, he's definitely taking that persona of scapegoat. The match was really good with Shota Umino and Jack Perry. It was definitely, like, both the way that they sold, the cadence that they had. Jack is not doing all this flippy stuff that he used to do when he was Jungle Boy. And it was a very, very good match. The only thing that I was kind of confused at the end was when they shook hands. Because I think, like, Jack, like, definitely, I thought Jack was going to take the win. And, like, Shota totally, like, you know, swerved me on that one. So, and that, I was a little confused. So, I don't know. And this happens to me. And every time, guys, and I want to make it clear, when I say something is because I've also done it and I'm still learning. Every time I get in the ring, I learn something new. It's like, when you are a heel, I know you need to show respect and everything. And that's, like, a very Japanese thing. Are you going to stay a heel and then just walk away, or are you going to shake someone's hand? And like, how do you feel about that, Denise?
I would not shake. If I was Jack Perry with the character, I would not shake hands. No.
That's my only thing. Like, I think he did an excellent job of being a heel in that match. And I think he should have stayed just fully heel, flip him over, fuck off, and move away. Mustafa Ali, this guy has just impressed me so much, because after he was released, he has been doing the Zack Ryder thing, right? He's everywhere. At the Matt Cardona thing. He's everywhere. And he is putting like this banger matches everywhere he goes. He takes his time to make them worth something. Like the promos that he's cutting before and after. He has so many impressions. People are really interested in what he's doing. And yesterday he had a very strong match against Hiromu Takahashi. He's doing it right, honestly. He's working really hard, but he is establishing himself again as someone that people should not be, you know, that should be paying attention and that should not be dismissive about him. So that was really cool. The Bullet Club and Team Kingston, it was hard for me to watch because it was a street kind of match and there's a lot of like stuff going on. So those for me are very, very hard to watch. And it's, you know, again, I was just interesting because I saw Homicide and as soon as I saw Homicide, I was like, oh, shit is going down. So shit went down. Everybody was beating each other up with stuff and everybody was bleeding. Everybody was doing this. So it was a different style. And that's another thing I want to mention. And for the callers, I want to invite the callers to call. If you watched the show yesterday, I want you to tell us, how do you feel about the state of New Japan right now? Because a lot of the stars have left New Japan. And I remember what I used to watch it 10 years ago. It's completely different to what it is right now. And I feel like with this show on Windy City, it gave it a little more spice. It gave you a little bit like a boost, I feel, the whole entire show. Well, that's what it was. And I would like to hear from people that watch the show if they feel the same way. Because some of the matches were very good and very interesting. And another one I want to talk about very briefly is Nick Nemeth. Again, he's everywhere. TNA and all the indies that I, like the big indies that I know, he's now here. Like that's the first thing that he did after he was let go of WWE is to go to New Japan. And he's rebuilding himself as the guy. Like a lot of us knew that he could be the guy, but he's becoming the guy. And Tomohori Ishii, he's a hard-hitting guy. He's like a little bulldog, right? And it was one of those matches where you know it was going to be hard-hitting and Nick was going to earn the win. And at the end with Jon Moxley is like, he is, again, writing his own history. And he's the first person ever to have titles pretty much in every single company, big company that he's worked, AEW, WWE, and now New Japan. So I'm pretty sure that he's going to bring a boost to what New Japan needs right now. And I think that's the reason why management trusts that he is the right person to become the champion for them.
Yeah, and I think you brought up so many good points there, by the way. Thank you so much for that recap. Because so you had mentioned, I think what you're like, there's a lot of buzz right now coming off of this show for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And there really hasn't been buzz for the company, like probably since Wrestle Kingdom. Like that was the last time I really feel like people were talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I think part of the problem is that, again, you mentioned that they've lost a lot of their big stars. But part of the problem is that they never really got that new crop of talent ready so that if they did lose those stars, that they had other people that can really take the reins for the company, right? And I feel like they kind of relied a little bit too much on like American talent versus kind of building up more of their own talent so that, again, they're not left high and dry when certain of their talent leave. I think Jon Moxley being champion is going to be like a pretty... it's going to be like a temporary, I feel, solution for them to get some buzz again, but they need to also make their own homegrown stars again, because I feel like that's something that is kind of lacking from New Japan Pro Wrestling right now. And thus why a lot of people really haven't been talking about the product as much until last night. Again, this card, just kind of looking at it, you know, was pretty damn good. But you see, like you mentioned, a lot of these guys, like, you know, Nick Nemeth, Mustafa Ali, they're going to like a bunch of different places. They're working, man, they're hustling. But yes, I do feel like they need to find a way to continue this momentum. Jon Moxley is not a full-time New Japan talent. No. He is AEW, which means, okay, what does that mean for the IWGP title? Is he going to be on every show defending? Is he not going to be on every show defending? What is that going to look like for the company? So there's a lot in here that I think is kind of interesting and sort of telling a little bit of where the state is at for New Japan Pro Wrestling. But I do hope that they find a way to, again, continue some of the momentum that they regarnered from last night. So I think that all of that has been very, very interesting.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark with me, Uncle Bully, Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast.
So now it's time to give a yeet. So yeet. Thunder, very simple. Yeet, your best moment of the week. No yeet, your least favorite moment or something that you just did not like. So let's get to it. Let's start off with your yeet of the week.
Penta and Adam Copeland.
Hell yeah.
Dude, I just cannot. First of all, you guys know I love Penta. Penta Ceramelo, if you don't know who I'm talking about. You know, this was this Wednesday on Dynamite. He had a match with Adam Copeland. I don't think I have ever seen Adam do lucha the way that he did lucha on Wednesday. And the fact that, because my question is always when there is a luchador working with somebody that predominantly work American style, how are the styles are going to clash, right? It was paced right. The story was just perfect. Adam is showing another side of him that hardly we ever seen. And then I love the fact that he went out on Instagram and he did this big post about the match and how proud he was about doing something that challenged himself, especially for the title, and two, doing something completely different that he hasn't done in a long, long time. And the match was very entertaining. I feel like Penta always delivers, and he's just getting better and better and better. The gear was great. He is in great shape. And then a shout out to Alex. Poor Alex, he got speared. He got smeared on the floor. He took it like a champ just to save his bestie. It was good storytelling. I love when they get managers involved in the matches, especially when it's worth something or means something. It was great. I think that's my yeet of the week.
I don't blame you, man. That was a really good match. And for Adam Copeland, obviously he's a lot older. He doesn't normally work that style. Oh. So to see him go out there and have this match with Penta and do a great job at it, like, I feel like you got to definitely applaud that because, again, you know, he is an older guy and Penta is going to move a lot faster. He's going to do a lot more, these athletic things that, you know, not everybody can do. He's Penta for a reason. And so I think they really did go out there and they had a really fun match. And given that a lot of people were watching this and really, you know, anticipating the backstage footage and this match happened right before that, I feel like it was a really nice distraction because you were so into the match that you kind of had this distraction heading into the big footage reveal. So I think they did a really phenomenal job with that. And that was honestly a big highlight of AEW Dynamite this week. So my yeet is going to be over from Monday Night Raw, and that is Drew McIntyre's angry ass promo after getting screwed out of the championship by CM Punk and Damian Priest. And this was hilarious, man. Everyone who watched this knows exactly why I'm picking it. Drew McIntyre going out there and calling Damian Priest Bondage Undertaker and then saying that he would kick his ass, but then he'd probably enjoy it. I was like, bro, what are you doing here? This is hilarious. And then he was like, telling CM Punk that he was going to target the weakest part of his body, but yet his whole body was weak. And I'm like, bro, stop it. This is hilarious. And so Drew McIntyre, he can get away with saying some stuff because of the way that he presents it and his character that you're just like, it's so funny. So to me, Drew McIntyre is gold right now, freaking gold. And so for that reason, it is my yeet of the week. Drew McIntyre's promo on Monday Night Raw.
Yeet.
Look at you. Well, you know, sometimes certain things that we might be doing in the ring or promos or like characters, they fit people so well because maybe inside of them, that's how they really feel. I don't know if you guys have thought about that.
I love honestly. It. It makes me want to like Drew McIntyre more because he's real. It feels real, you know, like, come on, let's be real. We've all been there.
Food for thought. I'm just saying that. But I will have to say on Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, there was a lot of moments and there was a lot of segments. And I want to mention this for the women of AEW. You know, we had a Julia promo that was really, really good. It was really well done. It was really creepy. And again, it just develops her character even more. There was the somebody attack the CEO, Mercedes Moné. We all interacting with her. I got sources But, you know, she wants me to go to her office. So I'll go to her office. And she said it in Spanish. I had the segment with Toni Storm where, you know, I got my makeup got smeared, which, believe me, was not fun. She knocked the crap out of me. And it's really establishing things for our match, for this our championship match. So I don't want people to forget that there's a lot of stuff that are happening for the women's division at AEW. And yes, I might get, you know, heat for that, but I don't care. Like, we are working. Absolutely everybody that have been on TV and have been on it for a couple months, we are working extremely hard to make AEW the best that we can. And I think since my comeback, and it's something that a lot of the criticism that I had, and I'm talking personally, was that I'm very weak on promos. I've worked my ass off, and I continue to work my ass off to, like, develop better promos and better things. And a lot of you have seen it, especially on Twitter exclusive or in the internet exclusive. And the last one that I did this last week was probably one of the best promos I've done, because I really feel it that way. And it's important that people, our fans, and people that are interested in watching the show recognize that everybody's working extremely hard to really do the best and give the best that we can. And I can tell you, I there was a lot of good segments on Wednesday on AEW Dynamite.
One of the things that you've been doing that I've been liking, and I noticed it right away, was that after your matches, you always have something to say directly to the camera. And I always wait for it now where I'm like, what's Thunder Rosa going to say today? And yeah, I like that. It's good stuff, man.
I mean, it's sorry to interrupt, but it's okay. Like, it is important. Like I said, it is important to mention. And it's we have really good stuff happening coming for April 21st for Dynasty. So I want people to pay attention, you know, and yesterday there's more continuation to whatever we've been working on. So again, we're all working very hard. And let's talk now about your no deets.
No eats. All right. So no deets. The thing we don't really like for this week. And Thunder, I'll give you the floor. What's yours?
Man, let's see. Oh. I guess it's like not knowing your audience. And how to work with the audience. I'm just going to say it in general. Because I feel like some people work the same way in different places, but they forget where they're working at and who they're working for. And they're not telling the story how they're supposed to. I know I'm being very vague, but I saw a lot of things during the weekend, last weekend, and I was just like, yeah, this is not cool. Like, no.
No, sort of. So you're saying, like, working the same place, it's working the same way in every place, regardless of the story, regardless of the promotion.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Okay. Okay. I feel like that's pretty fair, honestly. All right. So for me, my no ye is actually poor Cameron Grimes. Not necessarily the match itself, but rather no one doing anything with Cameron Grimes. I really hope that coming out of this next draft that we're doing, I really hope that we see things get shaken up for Cameron Grimes, because not only is he a really good wrestler, but this dude, he's got range, man. We've seen some of the characters that he's done, some of the character work that he's done over on NXT. And I feel really bad that we haven't gotten to see any of that on the main roster. So that's my no-yeet for the week. And honestly, it could have been my no-yeet for like the last couple of months. But it's just the fact that nothing has really been done with Cameron Grimes. That's my no-yeet this week.
But have you taken in consideration that they probably don't have like creative for him anywhere? You know, yes, he has a lot of range, he can do a lot of stuff, like his stuff was really interesting and really entertaining during NXT, but now it's like when you're working in the big league, some of the stuff that you did back in NXT does not work with this kind of audience. That's what I was trying to tell you, because sometimes they change their character so many different times for, you know, Raw and SmackDown until like something clicks, and sometimes nothing really clicks. So have you thought about that?
So here's the thing about that. One, they haven't even tried anything on the main roster with him. Like, they haven't even tried. And I think that's where the fault sort of lies. Where, and by the way, like, several months ago, there was a report that was put out there that there was no creative plans for Cameron Grimes. So you're right. They didn't have any plans for him. And there hasn't even been one attempted yet. And I think that's more so where, like, my issue is, where I'm like, at least let's attempt something, or at least see him on the show, you know, more than often than what we have. Because there's just nothing there. Like, I can't even remember the last time, like, we had really seen Cameron Grimes since this Braun Breaker matchup. And I think the last time we got something good was when he went back to NXT for, like, one match. And then that was it. So I just, yeah, I do think that there needs to at least be an attempt at doing something with Cameron Grimes. So that's why it's my no yeet of the week.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.